Let's talk about one of the sponsors to this program, which helps us a lot, and that, of course, is the Alexandria School for Nannies. Do you love children, John?
Yes, I do. I've got quite a few grandchildren.
Yes, I have 7, and I love little babies. But anyway, I have a friend, and she's a listener of this program, and she's the mother of 5 and grandmother of 3, and she has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies, and now she's certified as a newborn care specialist. And she's enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to work with children while adding to your family's income, which is really kind of important these days, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious children, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out more about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, one more time, call Carolyn, 781-7531.
Shalom, Mishpah, and welcome to the special edition of the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, and on the World Wide Web, whkwradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your joyful co-host with our Bible teacher and minister, Sheila Crawford. And a reminder, you can listen to this program again later this week, shofarministries.net. Okay, before we get started, we're going to ask the Lord to be with us today. Abba, Father, bless this program. Use this program to reach those that don't know you. We've had so many prayer requests come in. Lord, a lot of us are wishing that our relatives and our people close to us would get saved and come to know you as their Savior this time of year. Lord, move on their lives. We can only give hints, but you can move on their hearts with your Holy Spirit. Strengthen us according to your gospel, which is the testimony of Yeshua, the spirit of prophecy made known to us from your scriptures, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Thank you for saving us and removing our filthy garments of sin and covering us with your garment of righteousness. May you be blessed by the mouth of the living for all eternity. In the name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen. And thank you, John, and happy traditional New Year's
yes.
to all the listeners out there today. And we are very glad to be here and hope to continue at least once a month.
Oh, yeah. And our next program will be 4 weeks from today on January 29th in our old time slot. Remember, Saturday at 1 p.m.
And you can also check out my calendar webpage for updated radio dates and speaking engagements should you forget.
Okay. And some of you might like to know, Sheila will, well, I hope you all want to know, she'll be speaking in Mentor at Lakeshore Assembly. And that's at 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard on Thursday, the 20th of this month. Mark that on your calendar, okay?
Yeah, come on out and join us.
Yeah, and remember, a Shofar Assembly, it's still every second and fourth Saturdays. And that will be, the next coming one is Saturday the 8th, and then again on the 22nd. Now call Sheila if you have any questions about how to get there, because she's good at giving directions. Her number is 440-834-9006.
And that's in Burton.
That is in Burton, and I'll be doing some worship music, and we'll have a good time, and we'll also learn a lot from God's Word. Now, we'll be opening up the phone lines later this hour, and please keep your questions limited to the subject of the end times, and please limit it to one question. The phone number is 888-677-WORD. And again, we'll be opening that line up later. Sheila, do we have any good news for a change before we open the show today?
You know, we do.
Well, finally, finally.
We have, we just found out that the largest reserve of natural gas, over 16 trillion cubic feet. I can't even imagine how
big that is. That's got to be a lot.
But it's been discovered off the coast of Israel and is estimated to be worth more than $95 billion with a B, dollars. The United States company Noble Energy Incorporated announced last Wednesday of this terrific find. And, you know, I'm totally convinced that it's this gas, along with oil, that is the hook in the jaw that God uses in Ezekiel 38, verse 4, predicting that it will draw the enemy
towards Israel. Now, Okay, that's not good news. I mean, it's good news that that's going to happen, but the thing is, God's going to fight for Israel at that time.
Yes. And they're going to win this.
And they're going to win this.
You know, and the good news, too, is that we see these things coming together, which always, of course, notifies us that Jesus is on his way.
Yes, soon.
And that's really what my ministry is all about, is to get Christians to recognize the fact that he is coming soon, because when they recognize that fact, they will desire, hopefully, to tell others to get right. You know, accept Christ now as your Lord and Savior.
And not only tell others, but maybe you need to get right. Maybe you need to use the Christian bar of soap. You know, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin.
Yeah.
And maybe you need to get into the Word more. Maybe you need to be a better testimony. Well, I know I do.
And we're going to talk about being in the Word more, because it gives us wisdom. And there is so much falseness out there today.
Yes, there is.
That we really need it. And, you know, a question often comes up.
Yeah, this pops up,
this up
a lot.
Is America in prophecy? Well, you know what? I can tell you that I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's by description, first of all. And as you know, the Bible is very descriptive. In fact, the actual word resurrection, did you know that it's not even in the Old Testament except by description?
Just by description, correct? Like in Isaiah 26:19, when he says, "Awake and sing, you who lie in the dust."
That's right.
A poetic way of putting it, but it doesn't say resurrection, but you know it's talking about
absolutely.
It.
Mm-hmm. And there's other words, too, like rapture. The word Bible isn't in there.
Bible's not in the Bible?
No. But it's there by description or synonyms.
Okay.
You know, like the word or scripture or, you know.
Yeah.
So, well, anyway, I saw a verse in Jeremiah many years ago that I believe pertains to America. First, as a reminder, though, I would like to point out the fact that there are over 5 million Jewish citizens living here in the United States whose ancestors immigrated from, you know, like Europe, Russia, Germany, due to the persecution and the genocide. So I'm going to read Jeremiah 30:11 and see if you know where I'm going with this. God says through Jeremiah, "For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you." Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. "Though I make a full end of all the nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you," talking about Israel, "but I will correct you in justice and will not let you go altogether unpunished." And let's face it, they have been punished greatly through the years, anti-Semitism alone.
So would you consider America to be one of those nations that will come to an end?
What do you think?
Well, according to Jeremiah 30:11, I think we would be included in that statement. I'll make a full end of all the nations where I scattered you. And there's no doubt in my mind that most of the, half of the Jewish, or a little less than half of the world's Jewish population lives right here.
That's right. In fact, we are the highest in the world of the Jewish population. I believe it's 5,800,000 was the last count, and it's less than Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And then it dramatically jumps to like 600,000 in France and down everywhere else after that.
Oh, so we are the...
So we're huge.
Okay. We are.
Know, so I believe that he's talking about America, and we can see America going down the tubes in God's eyes.
Yes, we can.
And 2010, last year, has proven to have taken a huge leap in America's demise, especially even just in the last month, called the Lame Duck Congress.
Oh, the who? The lame Duck Congress. Is this the, it sounds like Disneyland. What is this, Sheila? What's this Lame Duck Congress?
Okay, I'll give you the official definition.
Okay.
A lame duck session of Congress in the United States occurs whenever the former Congress meets after its successors are elected, but before the successor's term begins.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was last month when President Obama had to move quickly to get some bills passed before January 3rd when the new, now Republican majority, takes over.
Oh, okay.
Now, I believe there's like three primary ways that contribute to the demise of America. Now, again, let's keep Jeremiah 30:11 in focus here,
mm-hmm.
where God says that he will make a full end of America. It can very well start off economically, militarily, spiritually, and eventually maybe even have a nuclear bomb hit us.
Mm.
But I am already seeing the three primary ways, economically, militarily, and spiritually, contributing to the demise of America. Now, in my opinion, John, and I know it's the opinion of many, that Obama is a socialist, okay? He fits in that socialist group.
Mm-hmm.
And his goal is really to take down America. Why? You think, wow, how can a man be so cruel? But it's not necessarily that he thinks he's cruel. He wants to take down America so that people will cry out for globalism, thinking it has to be better.
And, of course, you know, with globalism comes a global leader.
That's right. You know, and isn't that prophesied in the Bible?
And just to be fair, I got to say, I think Bush was taking us that direction,
there's
too.
There's always an elite group that's kind of pulling the strings.
That's
anyway.
Right, yeah. And I think more than the presidents, I think it's their handlers, if you want to put it in that.
Sure,
kind of
we can do
too.
That
yeah.
if that makes you feel better.
So what passed? so what's the thing in this lame duck Congress passed?
Well, in just 30 days, okay?
Okay.
Let's take one by one, and I'll just expound on it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But we had the START Treaty.
Okay.
Okay? Nice. Now, that's the Nuclear Arms Reduction Agreement with Russia. Oh, my gosh. If this doesn't push us towards the demise of America, especially militarily, I don't know what will. Here we are. Signing an agreement with Russia that we will not, you know, increase our defense system.
Hmm.
Now, they agree to do the same. But my goodness, what about Venezuela? What about Iran? What about all the other countries, North Korea?
Oh, you mean they have nuclear weapons? Right.
Are they going to abide by agreement that we make with Russia?
I don't think so.
And, you know, it's just absolutely absurd.
Sounds kind of scary.
And yet it was signed.
Wow.
It just, that really just, well, I don't want to dwell on it because we have a lot to talk about, but my goodness. Okay, so that's actually the demise of the military and et cetera. But now the next thing that was passed was the food safety bill. Okay, now we're all want good food, and we don't want have to go through recalls and things like that.
Exactly.
I understand all that. I get
mm-hmm.
it. However, this is putting more federal regulations on the farmers
mm-hmm.
and on all the manufacturers, which, of course, costs more money, which means they'll charge more money for us to purchase, which affects the economy.
Yes, it does. It does. Right now, we need the exact opposite of that. We need food that's more affordable, and we need less government agencies. So
yeah.
That's kind of sad that that passed.
And then the other thing, of course, is the tax cuts. And again, this is a great thing. I didn't want the taxes to, you know, to continue. I wanted the tax cut to continue. I didn't want them to raise our taxes. And that, of course, is favorable. However, because of the deficit that Obama has already got us into, this, of course, will add to that deficit, unfortunately.
Yeah, well.
So it's still the economy going south.
It is. Doesn't look good. Doesn't look too good.
And then there's the health bill for 9/11 first responders. Free health care for anyone that was part of that.
Huh.
Okay, because now I understand there's some problems going on.
It sounds fair enough.
Oh, yeah, it's a great thing, and it should be. Don't
mm-hmm.
misunderstand me, and I hope you're out there listening. Do not misunderstand me. This is a good thing. However, because of the deficit that Obama has already gotten us into, this will add to the deficit, which will pull us down even more economically.
Because you got to ask yourself, who's paying for this? You know, we are, and
that's
our children and our grandchildren and everything. And those taxes, I mean, that's going to have to be paid for one way or the other, right?
Right. And, of course, they're still not getting rid of all the earmarks and the pork and all that kind of stuff, which I'm assuming the Republican majority will do
mm-hmm.
starting next month. But anyway, it's just a Band-Aid.
Yes.
If they do. And the last final thing is probably, well, it's a sad thing because it's actually condoning what God calls perversion. and that's the repeal of the ban on gays serving openly in the military. Once again, people, I have no qualms about a sinner. Sinner is a sinner is a sinner.
That's right.
Okay. The problem is that now our government, which has been in a slippery slope for quite a while, is finally opening, condoning homosexuality.
Well, yeah, that's the main problem. It's not that, you know, maybe we should be glad that, you know, homosexuals are willing to serve in the armed forces and everything.
That's not what I'm talking
about. But we're putting the government now is putting its stamp of approval on homosexuality,
right.
And that's
exactly.
Not going to be blessed by God, I believe.
So this is kind of a twofold thing. Not only does it hurt us morally, but militarily as well, but it hurts the moral, hurts moral with, how am I saying this, John?
Well, it's bad for the morality of the troops because maybe they'll be uncomfortable with this. I don't know.
Less men willing to join, I think.
Yeah. It could have negative things. But the main thing is our government is putting the official stamp of approval on this, and it's even been taught in the schools like that, too.
Well, economically, too, because the health bill will probably have to cover now all these and their employee partners as well. And, AIDS is still here.
And that's very expensive to treat. They can treat it now, but it's very expensive. And that's another thing we got to pay for. Our poor children are taught in our schools that this kind of perversion is okay.
Mixed messages. It's just very sad because, the Bible's very clear that if we teach our children to stumble, it's actually a major crime in God's eyes. Mark 9, verse 42 tells us that.
Yeah, I think Jesus said himself that if you cause one of these little ones that believes in me to stumble, it'd be better that a millstone be found around your neck and you get cast into the sea. It's very serious. They're trying to make
very
a point.
Very serious.
Making
absolutely
a point there where when it's one thing to neglect your spiritual growth or the spiritual education of your children, but to teach them the exact opposite of what you know is right, and to teach them the opposite of that, we're going to be held accountable.
Oh, big
for it.
Time! Big
and maybe
time.
Maybe more the parents, but as a society in general, we're going to face these children when they're grown up, and they're going to be something else to face.
Right. So, can you see what I'm talking about? Jeremiah 30:11.
Yes.
Kind of coming.
Yes, we are. It looks like it's all been set in motion for America. All these wrong things are occurring. Like you said, speed. It's gaining momentum, and it's sad to see. It really is.
Right, and of course, in the spirituality side, we've been seeing this in our churches. They're just not teaching the real Word of God. They might use a verse or two, often taken out of context, and using situational topics sort of tickles one's ears and make you feel good about yourself instead of conviction of a desire to know him more. That can only come by saturating oneself in Scripture. So, in other words, when people go to church, they're supposed to leave convicted to want to be closer to him. But instead, they're leaving happy, happy, happy. Oh, how great am I? And it's all about me. And how great I am instead of conviction. And we're seeing that all the time.
Now, when you say conviction, do you mean, you don't mean a guilt trip, right?
No, I just mean a desire to grow more in him.
Okay. So like a...
But sometimes conviction. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are living in sin and they're never asking, repenting for it.
That's true. But when God's word does point out our sin, he says merely we just have to agree that it is sin. God doesn't want to inflict guilt or self-punishment on us. We just need to agree with him. And you know what? When we do that and confess our sins, he forgives our sin. And he gives us generously of his Holy Spirit. And he will give us that renewal that we need. That'll make us want to get back into the Scriptures, I believe.
Well, there's a Scripture too. Now, we talked about Jeremiah 30, verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to talk about a Scripture that I found in Amos. And Amos is just like a little book that's not read a lot.
Yeah, but
there's a lot of stuff in there.
Just like, a lot of those little books are very important.
That's right. But in Amos 8, verse 11, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord.
Mm.
Now, you cannot deny that theological truth has lost its flavor. There's been a growing trend in the body of Christ that points to a moving away from sound biblical teaching. The whole of Words God, we're just moving away from it.
Yeah, and you know, Sheila, the results of a recent survey, done by the Barna Research Group shows that Christians are actually in a regression of sorts when it comes to their knowledge of the Scriptures. Nestor, we're going the opposite way. We're forgetting, or we're not being taught.
Well, you know, and let's be clear. I know that people naturally seek after truth.
I think so too.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
But they're seeking it in the wrong places, instead of the Bible.
Yeah, because a lot of people think it's just myth and legend, right?
Right. So now they're turning to the Discovery Channel, the History Channel, Oprah Winfrey for their daily allotment of truth.
Oh, yeah, and there's never-ending scandals of, unfortunately, of men of the cloth getting involved with now.
Right, like major news sources to learn about what's wrong with the church. But never that the Bible is solely the Word of God, or that Jesus is the Word. You sure don't hear that on the news.
No, you don't hear that.
Who came in the flesh to pay the penalty for man's sins. And then, of course, we have the children. They're forced to attend a godless public school system.
Yep. So what you're saying is that those of us who still know his truth have a big job of trying to counteract the bombardment of this very secular society we live in, right?
That's right. And you know what? I did not grow up this way, and I'm not going to say how old I am, but I can tell you I have seen America changed drastically.
I have too. And I'm a young guy.
Well, you are younger than me.
But I do remember that, like you said, the TV sitcoms, they had what?
They had to use twin beds.
Twin beds,
you know, for a married couple. Not today.
No, but this is... That's pretty
today,
graphic now.
Today you see torrid love affairs of people that aren't even married. And even now you're seeing gays passionately embracing each other.
Yeah. And now this saying I want to attribute to Billy Graham, I think he did say that, but he is quoted as saying, if God doesn't soon judge America, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Whatever happened to the faith of our fathers?
Yeah, well, the knowledge that the older believers possessed is fading into the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the younger group of those who profess a belief in Christ, they no longer look at the Bible as inerrant.
Mm-hmm.
After all, the Bible, they say, is only a quasi-guideline. We shouldn't pattern our lives after what we read in that dusty, antiquated old book, should we? I mean, that's what they're really thinking.
Hmm.
So here's the famine that Amos predicted. Sorely missing in most seminaries and Christian colleges today is that full counsel of God teaching. Verse-by-verse teaching. It's gone by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, many of the new Christian leaders and teachers are challenged because of that when it comes to teaching theological truths. And instead, many, especially the mainstream denominations, are even teaching from books like The Purpose-Driven Life and sometimes from heretical books such as The Shack,
mm-hmm,
and even Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code.
Well,
that's unbelievable.
Amos, the 8th chapter, verse 12 says, and they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it.
I know.
Because sounds like they're talking about today.
I believe so. And mainly because they can't find it because they're not looking in the right place. You know, and that's the problem. And it's interesting. Do you remember even how the early church, when we read our, our Bible and the commentaries, the early church yearned for the word.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Bereans studied God's word no matter what they were taught by Paul and Silas.
And Paul was very respectable, too.
That's right.
Yes.
Then there was that deep desire to learn God's truth in those early church years and for many years thereafter.
Well, Sheila, where's that desire now?
Yeah.
Where's that desire today?
People seem to be turning to other sources for truth. All the time, it's within their grasp. in front of their very eyes, right there in the Bible. Fulfilled Bible prophecy of a famine for hearing God's word is already here. So then where does it leave all those gullible Corinthian-type individuals who believe they've been taught the truth while leaving their Bibles to collect dust? Instead, they hear the feel-good message delivered from most pulpits today. Leaves a lot to be desired in regards to understanding the truth of the scriptures.
And
thus, what is the major harm in that, John?
The salvation through Jesus Christ alone.
Right, exactly. It's being replaced with salvation through works. And of course, these works lead to the biggest deception of all, the concept of many roads leading to heaven. That's what we're seeing. Let me tell you where these folks stand in relation to being born-again believers in Christ. They stand firmly entrenched with the rest of the non-believing, Christ-rejecting, perishing masses.
And that, my friends, is sad. Very sad.
So as we move deeper and deeper into the prophetic last days before Christ's return, we may find it extremely difficult to locate a truly Christ-centered Bible-believing church. And I've received numerous letters addressing this very problem.
And yeah, and by the way, if you out there, our listeners, if you know a church teaching verse by verse from the Bible, please email us and give us the info on where that church is. At you can email us at Sheila@shofarministries.net. So we can pass on this information and add it to our little, unfortunately, small referral list when believers ask us, where do I go? Where should I go to church? We'd like to be able to give them a big list of where God's Word is taught line by line.
Yes.
And the
like
whole from the whole council
complete.
Of God's Word.
Right.
Yeah, so if you know one, send it in. It might be your church.
That's right. And the other point I want to make is that it's amazing because when you start speaking of the inerrancy of the Bible, how it's without error, it becomes so offensive to people. It actually becomes intimidating to many, even in the church, you know, because of that. And as a result, they are compromising God's word, resulting in the unity of all religions.
Yeah, it's no longer all about Jesus Christ now. It's Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, and their place is firmly established and on the same level as our Creator, Savior, and Lord. God, forgive me for saying that, but that's what's being
exactly.
said.
Exactly, especially our mainstream churches. They're accepting this falsehood. But again, we see Satan's scheme.
Which, you know, is not new.
No. But it's amazing because in these last days, though, we're seeing it gaining speed, just as the Bible predicted it would, and turning people, and ever so cunningly, away from God's word that has always been his desire. Satan has successfully replaced Jesus Christ with a false gospel. And in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, I believe it is, Paul even said, when he was referring to the false prophets coming preaching another Jesus or another gospel, I have to remember, the Corinthians were carnal, but he says, you just might well accept it. So he was saying because they were weak, they might accept false doctrine. And that's what we're seeing today. And why are people weak?
Because
they're
not getting the meat of the word.
Exactly.
Yeah. You got and the vegetables of the word, which
that's
we'll
right.
be talking about a little later.
Paul was very concerned about false gospels being promoted and that folks would believe those lies and follow the purveyors of those lies. You see, if we actually read and studied our Bibles, we would and people would have seen this coming and could have avoided this evil substitution of God's word. The presence of one little lie can grow like yeast and corrupt the entire church. Paul makes a similar statement to what I just said, even in Galatians as well.
Yeah. You know, to preach another gospel was to nullify the death of Christ.
Well, of course, because if you teach another gospel, you don't need the death of Christ.
That's right, or the resurrection. You might
there was an easier way. Why did Christ have to come and die?
Exactly. Exactly.
Amen.
You have to toss out the resurrection there, too, if you're going to preach this.
That's right. That's right. So, anyway, I also want to point out before the break that according to the same study done by this Barna Research Group, the exclusiveness of the Christian faith has definitely entered a new phase. Apparently, it is now frowned upon to approach the lost to witness to them, which again stems from believing there are many paths that lead to heaven. We're there. We know Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, but to many it's an old, tired concept. In the minds of many, mm-hmm. It should be shelved.
Well, it shouldn't be shelved because it's the tabernacle is a picture of coming through the one entrance.
Right.
There's one way. And that's something that just has made the Bible come to life. And that's things like that you're going to learn at Shofar Ministries.
That's right.
Right?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, you bet. I love the tabernacle concept of symbolism.
Yes.
But instead, today, it's replaced with the feel-good message, the unity of religions.
Mm-hmm.
And these new concepts are doing a great job of adding these warm bodies to the pews. And if you've ever seen, especially ones on TV sometimes, there's thousands.
Thousands of people. But we don't envy that, but it's sad.
I know.
And, you know, this the creation of the last days Church of Globalism is now becoming, can be plainly seen actually on television.
Absolutely.
By watching this.
Absolutely. The One World Church,
mm-hmm.
which is the one world religion that rides the beast, which is the one world government. It's coming to fruition, people.
Yes, coming to pass in our age.
Amen.
You can be excited. I started out asking for good news, Sheila. Do you remember that? But
you know, it depends on your outlook.
Okay.
If you're happy that Jesus is coming soon, then this is going to excite you.
Okay.
You know,
you did say it was good news.
And you know, I don't have the most popular ministry around because of it. I tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But to some that aren't where they need to be, they're not happy about it. And that makes me very sad. But
that's sad, yes.
To recap what we've talked so far, and then we'll take a break. So this famine spoken of by Amos concerning the word of the Lord is now firmly entrenched in all societies and quite discernible. And again, this was to occur in the last days, which is just one more example of God's prophetic truth coming to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So hold fast to the faith. My brothers and sisters out there listening, that we must occupy till he comes, but it won't be long now.
Time is moving quickly. Be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate. How will you know? You will have a desire to know him more and long to be in his word, his presence. That's our Bible. Remember, Jesus is the word. More word, more Jesus equals more wisdom to detect error. That's a simple equation. Just do it.
Just do it.
Now, the lines will be open when we come back from our little break here, and we would look forward to handling your questions if we can. Make sure they're on the end times, and it's one question. And the number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Since we cover such a big area on radio, we would like to visit you at your church for an evening of messianic worship and a timely message. If you're excited about this, go get your pastor, get him excited about it too, and ask him to give us a call at 440-834-9006. Don't forget, any and all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a seed partner with us in this endeavor. You can use PayPal on the website or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries Box 513, Burton 44021. All donations will automatically put you on that monthly newsletter, and it's full of gold nuggets. It comes through the email, or it comes in the regular mail, and it's got current events of the last days here and in Israel. Why not check out the webpage? The newsletters and the previous radio shows are all archived there just for you. And there's DVD teachings as well. Once again, those numbers for you are 888-677-WORD-9673. Got that? Okay, stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break and a great song by, I think it's, the guy's name's John?
Pardon? Yours truly.
Yours truly. So stay with us. We'll be back.
Children have lots of questions.
Why do babies drool? What's the moon made of? How do we know God's real?
The answers aren't always easy. For help in teaching your child about God's truth, listen to Focus on the Family. We'll even help you answer the tough questions, like,
why did Jesus have to die?
Listen to Focus on the Family, weekdays on this station.
Join us weekday mornings at 7 for Focus on the Family on AM 1220, The Word.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. As one of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray, and I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That song was by yours truly, John Bartlett here, and I love doing that song. It's one of the songs the Lord gave me a couple years back. And
Right, it's a beautiful song, and if anyone would like John to come out and do some worship at your church, just give me a call and we'll set you up.
I'll even come out to your house and do worship music if you like. I will. I will do it. Also, now that we're back, I want to welcome any new listeners we might have that have joined us because we're in a different time slot. And thank
we
you,
are.
And thank you for, if you're a regular listener, thank you for listening to us. And I also want to tell you and remind you that our next program will be 4 weeks from
yes.
today on January 29th, and it will be back in our old time slot, a Saturday at 1 p.m. You know, right after lunch, that's when you dial us
that's
in.
That's it.
Okay?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, this end of the show, which is going so fast, I wanted to point out to the fact that I know that most people, and certainly a lot of Christians, including myself, usually like to eat better after the holidays since we filled our myself with lots of bad carbs, probably. Not everybody, but...
I did, too. I confess. I confess I did.
So if you're getting ready to get on the van wagon and get more protein and good vegetables in you, I was sent, it's been a month ago now, something in the email, which is really amazing. And I thought we would talk about it to show how God is so interested in have us understand what vegetables do for us and what each vegetable does for which particular organ.
Okay.
Did you ever wonder how they knew, they would know, like, if you ate carrots, that was good for your eyes?
I thought it was what my grandmother said, and that made it science.
Well.
Automatically. But she did say that.
I do want to point out that Moses recorded in Scripture that God separated the salt water from the fresh water. Mm-hmm. He made dry land. He planted a vegetable garden. He made animals and fish, all before creating man.
Mm-hmm.
He made and provided everything we'd need prior to Adam's arrival. So, do you think Adam and Eve ate their veggies raw?
Well,
I would say that.
I don't know. Maybe they had a barbecue.
I don't think so.
No. Okay.
Of course. And now we really do know that they are best and more powerful when eaten raw.
Okay.
Sometimes we're such soul learners, aren't we? But God left us a great clue as to what foods help what part of the body. It's like God's pharmacy. It's amazing. But, yeah, if you take a carrot and you cut it in half, crosswise, and you look at it, and what does it look like?
Well, this picture here, and it looks exactly like a carrot cut in midsection here. It looks like the pupil and iris of an eye.
It really does.
It does.
And so science now tells us that carrots greatly enhance the blood flow to the function of the eye.
Now, what happens if you don't really like carrots?
Eat them anyway.
Eat them anyway. Now
that's what I tell my grandkids, you know, but I don't like them.
I know.
I don't care what you like. You eat them anyway.
You can always drink them, too. Don't forget that.
Well, let's give some other examples. And by the way, just so people know, I'm going to put some pictures of these vegetables in my next newsletter so that you can see it along with each one. So if you're trying to take a lot of notes and can't take them fast enough, it will be in my next newsletter, which can be sent to you should you just let me know you want it, either email or snail mail, whichever you prefer. Let's look at the tomato.
Okay.
Now, when you cut the tomato again crosswise, it has 4 chambers, and remember the tomato is red.
Okay, so what has 4 chambers in our body?
I think it's the heart.
I think you're right.
And it's pretty much red.
Pretty much red, isn't it? That's weird.
And all of the research shows tomatoes are loaded with lycopene and are indeed pure heart and blood food.
Now, I've heard that before. I heard about the lycopene, and this is just really something.
It's so interesting. When you cut it, I mean,
when you slice it, you take a cross-section of a tomato, you do see 4 chambers.
That's right. It looks like the inside of a heart.
Oh, my
God. Pretty cool.
Hmm.
The next on the list is grapes. Now, when grapes hang, they hang in a cluster, which has the shape of the heart.
Yeah, it does.
And each grape looks like a blood cell, and all of the research today shows grapes are also profound heart and blood vitalizing food.
Wow.
I know. It's pretty cool.
Now, does God make them look like this on purpose? Is this a...
Yes. Absolutely.
So we would know...
He has a unique design in everything.
Okay. So these designs didn't come about by random chance.
No.
It's obvious because science is proving that they didn't.
That's right. But here's a really unique one.
Oh, no.
Ever opened a walnut?
Oh, yes.
And what does the walnut look like?
It looks like, to me, a little brain.
It really does. I mean, so exactly. Now, you know that I have medical background.
Right, right.
Okay, lots of it, actually. And exactly, when you open that walnut, right, you know, instead of cross-sectioning it, just take the top layer,
It can be done.
It really does. It sits right there in that little skull and looks just like a brain. It has a left and right hemisphere, upper cerebrums, and lower cerebellums. Even the wrinkles or folds on the nut are just like the neocortex.
Mm-hmm.
So We now know walnuts help develop more than 36 neuron transmitters for brain function.
Now that's way,
I know,
way
I love
beyond
this. I had
coincidence.
To share this with people today. I just
this
had
is,
to.
This is way beyond coincidence. It'd be one thing if it was one fruit or a
mm-hmm.
vegetable, but this, we're
mm-hmm.
covering a lot of vegetables here.
Amen.
What
and
about the old kidney bean here? That
yeah.
looks pretty. What's that? Now that
what's the kidney bean look like?
Well, I guess they call it, it's called a kidney. It looks like a kidney.
It does.
It,
it really does. Again, I'm in the medical profession. I know it really does look like a kidney. And it helps heal and maintain kidney function.
Wow, I'm impressed. Not only with that, but that you were in the medical profession.
Oh, stop.
I know what a kidney tray is. It's shaped like a kidney, and they use it in the dentist's
okay.
office.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, now we come to, okay, this is good. Let's look at celery, bok choy, rhubarb. You know how they're
the stock,
along.
The stock type of vegetables.
And these foods look like bones.
Well, they do. Yeah.
You know? And just so happens that these foods specifically target bone strength.
No.
Yeah. You know, bones are 23% sodium, and these foods are 23% sodium, exactly
Get
the same.
Out.
So if you don't have enough sodium in your diet, the body pulls it from the bones,
Ooh.
Thus making them weak.
Hmm.
So these foods replenish the skeletal needs of the body.
Wow. And that's all you got, huh?
No, I have some more.
Are you serious? There's
yeah,
more of these?
I do.
This is something else.
All right. Let's look at the avocado.
Okay.
Or the eggplant.
Okay.
Or the pear. They're similar shaped. Okay.
Okay.
Cut it right down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cross-section of the eggplant or mm-hmm. pear or avocado.
And these actually target the health and function of the womb and cervix of the female. They actually look like that organ.
Hmm.
Now, without getting into too many details, but
yeah,
it really does. Today's research shows that when a woman eats one avocado a week, it balances hormones, sheds unwanted birth weight, and prevents cervical cancers. Now, how profound is this? Now, here's what's really amazing.
Hmm.
It takes exactly 9 months to grow an avocado from blossom to ripened fruit. It's just amazing to me. There are over 14,000 photolytic chemical constituents of nutrition in each one of these foods. Modern science has only studied and named about 141 of them.
Okay, this is really something. Because
yeah.
you can have, we're looking at the pictures here. And don't forget, we'll put this. You're going to put this in the newsletter. So
I am.
Other people
I am with
see.
Pictures and everything.
Okay.
What
about these
it
figs?
Needs to be known. It just shows you God, His design. My goodness, how can somebody say there's no God?
Yeah, or that we came from one cell, we developed into humans, and then the plant life came from one cell, and it just happened to develop and into organs that look like, or
mm-hmm.
being shapes that are shaped like
Hello?
Our organs, and that would actually heal
yes.
and be made for our body. So that's beyond
it's
coincidence.
Amazing.
Yes.
Well, you know what we're going to talk about now?
I know.
We went from the female organs. Now let's talk about the man's, and let's talk about figs.
Okay.
Figs are full of seeds and hang in twos when they grow. Figs increase the mobility of male sperm and increase, stop it, John, you're making me laugh too much, and increase the numbers of sperm as well to overcome male sterility. Okay, well, I had to say it.
Okay, well, you did the female organs. Okay.
And when you cut it in half.
Moving right along here.
Take it away, John.
How about sweet potatoes?
Okay.
Now, I'm told, since I've never seen my pancreas, that they look like pancreas, but you have medical experience. Do they?
Yes, actually they do.
Oh, okay.
And some regular potatoes too, but not all, but
now,
all sweet potatoes do.
The pancreas is, I know that's important when it comes to diabetes and stuff, so what would that do? Does it do anything for that?
Yes, it actually balances the glycemic index of diabetics.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, I'm from Southern California. I used to eat a lot of oranges because Southern California used to be a place where they grew a lot of them. How about that? What are they like, oranges and grapefruits? And what do they look like? I can't.
Well, actually, and here we go again.
Uh-oh.
But if you cut it in half,
okay.
it actually looks like the mammary glands of the female. and actually assist the health of the breasts and the movement of lymph in and out of the breasts.
So that could prevent breast cancer or something?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Isn't that great?
That is, this is wild.
Okay, we have one more.
Okay. Onions. How about the old onions?
The onion. You got it. It actually looks like the body cells. There's a coating to each cell, okay, as we know because we've actually seen cells.
That's right. You and I both have seen them microscopically.
Yes, we have.
And they do kind of look like onions.
Yes, they do. Today's research shows onions help clear the waste materials from all of the body cells. They even produce tears, which wash the epithelial layers of the eyes. That's why, this is just so great. It actually produces the tears, so it'll wash that area. This is great. And a working companion, garlic, also helps eliminate waste materials and dangerous free radicals from the body.
So garlic and onions. Make sure you get that on your next sandwich.
That's right. And listen, I got a quick question that's only on a text that just came in. And the question is, what is the difference between an Orthodox Jew and the Messianic Jew? And that's very easy. An Orthodox Jew is someone that still studies Judaism and has not accepted Christ. And a Messianic Jew is someone that has accepted Christ.
Exactly.
And a fulfilled Jew.
Yes.
Amen.
And let's give the English translation of Messianic, and that would be Christian, right?
Amen to that. That's what Galatians says. There's no more Jew or Gentile. We are Christians.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, we're done. We're going to have to close.
Oh, already? Okay, well, if you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, or maybe you're concerned that you might be one of those who only have the head knowledge of him, but not really the heart conviction, how can you get that? How can you really, really, really know? Just listen, get on your knees right now. Repent. Of your sins. Admit to God that you have sinned, and particularly the sins which seem to be lingering in your life. And then commit your life or recommit your body, soul, and spirit to Yeshua, the Messiah of all. But still, it's your choice to choose him, thereby making it your decision, your free will, and your decision where you want to spend eternity. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where you will go when you die. Because the soul never dies and it has to go somewhere. And we only know of two places, according to the Bible. And one is with God and the other one is with the enemy. Okay?
That's right. And again, let's point out the fact that it's an individual's choice.
It is.
Whether they want to spend it with God or the enemy. And it's based on what you do in this life. If you want to spend it with God, you'll spend it with him in eternity. If you don't want to spend it with God, then there's no other choice.
That's right. And don't think you have to turn into a stuffy Christian when this happens. God is fresh and new, and he will renew you. And if you have any questions for Sheila, or you would like her to speak at your church or church group, and I'll come with her too, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. And remember, any and all your donations are extremely important, especially right now.
We need them.
Yes, it's vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a seed partner in this endeavor. We know God will bless you. You can use PayPal or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. And, of course, any donation will put you on the monthly newsletter. And check out our website, too, there. Okay? How are we doing now?
The ironic blessing.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to leave you. And, sadly, we have to leave you, but we're going to leave you with a blessing. Yedrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha vichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha ve'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. And don't forget, join us next time on our old time slot of Saturday at 1 p.m. And this will be on January 29th. And until then, Sha'alu shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall, not maybe, shall prosper.
And that's not a maybe, that's a promise. And you can read about that in Psalm 122, verse 6. Again, we love you out there. We'll see you on the 29th, on Saturday, at 1 o'clock. And please join us.
Okay, and thank you, listener, for sending a question.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford at the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.
American 15-year-olds rank 35th out of 57 countries in math and literacy behind almost all industrialized nations.
America shouldn't be 35th in anything.
Come to a free event featuring Juan Williams, Fox News commentator, and radio host Hugh Hewitt as they discuss restoring American exceptionalism.
This free event is Monday, January 24th at Embassy Suites in Independence. There will also be a VIP dinner reception with Juan Williams and Hugh Hewitt. Tickets for the dinner are only $99. Details are on our website at whkwradio.com.
Hi, this is Brian West, host of the Met Today Show, the DFR on 1220 The Word. Sunday nights from 9 to 10 p.m. This week we'll be focusing on humans, government, aliens, and God. Why we are here, the secret, mysterious history of life. I hope to hear from you in the discussion forum report, better known as the DFR, presented by Method 18.